Well, good morning. Thank God this is a praying church. And all but the grace of God, if someone was not praying for me and someone was not praying for you, where would we be? The power of prayer. If you would be so kind as to open your love letters this morning to Matthew, we'll be in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 29. Matthew 7, verses 13 through 29. And as you open the Word, if you'd be so kind as to stand in reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ, His love letters to you, which are infallible, inerrant, powerful. These are your love letters from a holy God. This morning, if you hear nothing else, listen to this. God loves you. God is crazy about you. God loves you so much that if no one but you were the only sinner, God would allow His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cruel cross to save you of your sins. God's gospel is that personal. These are your love letters. Matthew 7, verses starting with verse 13. Enter ye in. Now Christ is writing, and you apply this to yourself. Christ is saying, enter ye, enter Dennis. You enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereafter, or thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, there's that word again, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, shall not be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, as we look at these verbs and at these nouns, many and few, that there will not be many who walk out of this room who are on the broad way. But we will allow your Holy Spirit to examine our hearts, and we'll allow you to be honest with each one of us as you examine our hearts. And we'll determine this morning, are we on the broad way where many go, or are we on the narrow way where few go? I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that we allow you to be God. I pray as a dying man speaking to dying people that we'll be honest with the Holy God, and that, Heavenly Father, today decisions will be made. Today those who know you but have strayed will get close to you. And today those who are on the broad way, who are blinded, who are in self-deception, will find the narrow way because you tell us we must be looking. We must be diligent about the right way. In the name of Christ, we pray these things, and may you have dominion over this place this next hour. Amen. Let me share with you. Sometimes when God's trying to use you, the devil throws things in your way. So I'm just going to be real honest with you. We have a sick dog at home. And this morning, the sick dog was sick. And I thought, oh, I'll get it. I'll clean up. And you know how you get that all intent, and you've got to get to church. You know how you get the picture. So God said, just calm down, old boy. The devil can use a dog, and I can use a donkey. So just humbly go about your way, and it'll all take care of itself. Also, I wanted to share with you, one Sunday morning, a mother was waking up her son and said, "Son, it's time to get ready for church." To which he replied, "I'm not going." She said, "But why?" He said, "I'll give you two good reasons. Number one, they don't like me. Number two, I don't like them." She said, "That's fine, but I'm going to give you two reasons you'd better get up and go." He said, "Why?" She said, "Number one, you're 59 years old. Number two, you're the pastor." So I say that and liken it to the fact, what are you and I doing here this morning? Why are we here? Are we here because we are pacifying our conscience? Are we here because it's the right thing to do? Are we here to influence someone? Are we here to build a personal relationship with the Holy God who wants to work in your life and my life? Because we are in a pagan society where the majority of the people we come in contact with in our network are dying and going to hell. Why are we here? Why are you here? So let me share with you a few facts that God has gleaned. And when I dug deep this week, God has laid this on my heart. An old preacher, professor, had told his students every season, every beginning of every class, he takes his students and he looks out over a cemetery. Hundreds, if not thousands, of tombstones are standing and it's quiet. You can hear the birds and feel the breeze. He said, "All right, now, to get to the core of the Word of God and what God has, I want all of you, one by one, to stand and try to speak to these graves and get these dead people to rise." Well, they were awkward. They kind of, you're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. So in the awkwardness and the silliness, but the truth of it, they each tried to call the dead up. It did not work. So the professor at this time reminded them of the core truth of the gospel. He said, people are spiritually dead just as these corpses in the cemetery are physically dead. And he said, only the words from a holy God can bring them spiritual life. Only the words from a holy God can bring us spiritual life. So this morning, as we start to look and analyze, and I'm going to give you a few spiritual tests. Are you on the straight and narrow, which Christ says few go? Or are you on the broad way where Christ says many go? So the title, if you wanted a title, the title is, where are you? Where are you this morning? With the many or the few? Only you and the Holy Spirit can determine that before you leave. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will not allow you to leave without determining, are you on the broad with many? Or are you on the narrow where you are diligent and you have to work to find the narrow way? See, the reality about humanity, we are born with an evil nature. We are with a God-hating evil heart. If you'll be so kind, or I'll just go over there because that clock up there always makes me nervous. But in Genesis 8:21, we are told for the imagination, listen to this, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Is that not frightening? Does that not cause us to want to know what we need to do to get that imagination, that evilness out of our heart? Well, it should. And then, of course, in Luke 11:13, we assume that we know we are evil. And many say, well, I've always loved God. But the reality is no one has. And we may have loved a God that we made up in our minds, but the God of the Bible we hate. He warns us. So in our evil, rebellious nature toward God, we take the law of God written in His Word in our hearts and we disobey it. This is a picture of the very first sin in Genesis 3. Unless you and I daily check our walk and take up our cross, forsaking ourselves, as we find in Luke 9:23, we spurn our Creator's authority over us. This bothers me. God beckons storm clouds and they come. He controls these hurricanes. He controls the cold fronts that come down. God beckons them and they come. He tells the winds to blow and the rains to fall and they obey immediately. He speaks to the mountains and He speaks and the earth shakes, as we know as earthquakes. And the rains fall, and they obey immediately. He speaks to the mountains. He says to the seas, you stop here, and they do it. Everything in all creation responds in obedience to the Creator until we get to humanity. Isn't that something? And then we have the audacity to look God in the face and say, no. Reminds me of a conversation I had this past week, and the man was kind of making fun of my faith. And that's his problem, not my problem. Because I said, well, I don't understand one thing. You seem to have all the answers. But I just want to ask you one question that's biblical that haunts me if I were in your shoes. Where were you when I formed the foundation of the earth? Where were you? God does not need us, but God loves us. And God made us for fellowship with Him. And that's why it's important that this morning you and I check and you and I determine, is Dennis, are you walking on the straight and narrow? Dennis, are you walking with the few? Dennis, have you given in and you're trying to serve two masters? Dennis, you can't go that way. You can't go the broad way because many are going that way. And Jesus said you can't go that way. Not because Dennis said, listen, you check Dennis out. You check everything I say by Scripture. You check everything anyone that you listen to says by Scripture. But are you on the narrow? So based on the purpose of God, shouldn't every Christian's heart be ultimately consumed with how we can make God's glory known in all the world, across the street and across the continents, and to every people's group? And I started not to go there, but I'm going to go here, regardless of time. Listen to the stats. 6,783,000,000 and counting, according to the most liberal estimates of people on the earth today. One-third of the world is Christian. And these estimates, when they say one-third, these estimates are very liberal, meaning anyone that claims socially, politically, by faith to be a Christian. And you and I know that that is not true. So therefore, even if we assume that that is true, that leaves 4.5 billion people who, if the gospel is true at this moment, are separated from God, and they are like the grave. They are dead men walking. They do not know Jesus Christ. They have not been born again. And in light of all that we have seen in Scripture, certainly God has given us His grace to extend His glory, not just in the areas of need here, but areas around the world. So how can you and I put our lives on cruise control, claiming we are born again and not care about the souls that God had to send His Son to die on the cross for? Isn't there a problem in America today in our affluency if we think that there's nothing else to it? If we, you know, it challenges me. Dennis, are you on the broad and narrow way if you get up and consciously, day in and day out, do not think, do not pray, as Brother John was singing about praying, do not care about these 4.5 billion souls that see the same sun you and I see outside, and you don't care about these souls, much less care about going across the street, much less care about sharing the gospel to business and your network of people where God has you? Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a mission field. We have people who are dying and going to hell. We rub elbows with every day. And yet are the 21st century church, Christ's bride? Are we killing the church because we are on the broad and narrow, as the Pharisees and Sadducees stared Christ in the face and plotted His murder, and God incarnate in the flesh was looking them in the eye? I believe we have some problems. I believe we need to examine our life. I believe we need to determine if we are on the narrow way or if we are on the broad way. I believe that we Americans have bought into a lie. And I believe we need to wake up. So we are told, and this is interesting, we are told that in prisons, and a friend of mine who says couldn't take it and got out of prison said, I said, well, it was a good career and it was this and that. And he said, no. He said, dead man walking. Dead man walking. He said, it haunts me. I cannot stand to hear dead man walking. Every time the prisoners who are sentenced to death walk in and out of the halls, the other prisoners want to needle them a little more. Dead men walking. So I want to ask you this morning, does the devil and his and the demons, are they having a field day in the spiritual world? Every place you and I go by hollering, dead man walking. Oh, Hollingsworth, who do you think you are? Dead man walking. Where are you this morning? Where are you? In the spiritual world, are the demons hollering, dead man walking, when you do good deeds? When you memorize Scripture? When you preach? When you teach? Are you real or are you false? Are you on the narrow or are you on the broad? Can the demons say, dead man walking, Dennis? Or do they know you're real? When the pressure comes on, when the dog has an accident, when the phone call comes, when you get served with papers from those people that wear those green and white suits. You know, all the kind of things that the devil uses to throw at us. Is our faith so firm that we know in eternity it's not going to matter? And I stand on the promises of God and I'm not going to give in. Where do you stand? Because I'm going to wheeze and squeeze. And in 2 Samuel, we're told Jonathan, talking about the narrow way, Jonathan's told, and they even had the names for the rocks that he had to squeeze to see the Pharisees. And he said, I know, he told his armor guard, I know if we get through this, I know if we go this way, our God's going to prevail. And they say that the rocks, the narrow way that the rocks to get through were pointed and jagged. And Jonathan said, my faith is in my God. And my God will deliver me from the Philistines. And he had to work at it. And the garrison behind him said, oh, Jonathan, we don't need to go that way. Oh, no. My God will prevail. Come on, get the armor. Let's slip it through this rock. We're going to get through because I know my God will prevail. What about the narrow way with you? Is it easy? No, it's not. No, it's not. The broad way is the easy way. It is the popular way. Look in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to where? To where? To destruction. And what? What does he say? And many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The broad way is the easy way. It's the popular way. The broad way is the way by today's statistics. The broad way is the way that people this morning are in congregations because they don't want the truth of God, because they want certain music, because they don't want the power of God in their lives because it may convict them and it may make them mentally just feel stressed out if they have to do what God says. So we have false prophets today in congregations all around America where the people are being appeased and they're being fed what they want to be fed. And that's exactly what he's telling us here. The broad way is easy. The broad way is the majority is not always right. The majority is not always white is what we're is right is what we're trying to say. The broad way. Have any of you ever heard everybody does it? Oh, I'm so sick of that in our culture today. Everyone does it. Everyone's on the broad way. Everyone's going. Come on, let's go. Because everyone's going. Let's just sing and party and dance and not have a conscience and pacify our spiritual soul. And let's just go the broad way because I don't want the Bible thumper to tell me about my problems. And I just don't like any of that. And let's just all just walk the broad way and hold hands and sing to hell. That's exactly what he's saying right here. It's exactly what he's saying. But when you start separating yourself, you see, God's people have always been a chosen few. Have they not? Look at Israel. Look at the size of Israel geographically. You know, statistically, if we go by the broad way, then we're looking at numbers and we're looking at stats. And, it makes the mathematicians real happy because they're dealing with big numbers. And big numbers aren't always good. Look at your budget. No, I shouldn't go there. That's bad. That just popped out. That's the sin of death. Man, I can't do that. But anyway, listen, the broad way, you can feed your lust. There are no checks on your appetites, no checks on your passions. You may walk in the way of your carnal heart in the sight of your eyes without any consequences because you have not truly been spiritually born again. Have you been spiritually born again? Do you have a conscience? Are you on the narrow way? Does the Holy Spirit inside of you say, you can't do that, Dennis? Dennis, you've got to quit thinking that. Where are you? If you don't have the conscience, if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, if nothing seems to bother you, you're, sir, ma'am, I don't want to tell you which direction to go, but it's by God's Word you're on the broad way. You cannot continue. If you do, you end up in hell. It's a fact. That's what Christ is telling those right now. That's what Christ and His Holy Spirit is telling you. You'll have abundance of company in this way. Many there be that go in at this gate. The crowd will be going the wrong way. And it's natural for us to incline to go down the stream with everyone else. It's satisfying self. If many perish, we should be all more cautious. So, let me go back to what I was saying. Are we any better off than the Sadducees and the Pharisees who stared Christ, God incarnate, in the face? You see, I believe we have been blinded and started on the broad way with our American culture. We've unconscious of the fact that in our culture, materialism has become a blind spot in the American Christianity today. Today, more than a billion people in the world live and die in desperate poverty. They attempt to survive on less than a dollar per day. Wow. Also, close to 2 billion live on $2 a day. That's nearly half of the population of the world. 3 billion people struggling on $2 to $1 a day to find food, water, and shelter with the same amount of money we spend on French fries for lunch. More than 26,000 people today will breathe their last breath due to starvation or a preventable disease. 3 billion people on $2 per day or less. And we in our affluency don't even seem to care. I'm not saying that rich is bad. I'm saying that it becomes your God and you're on the broad way. It's bad. It's evil. It's deception. And it will kill you and send you eternally to a place called hell. I'm saying that we have the affluency to make a change for God and the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. And we need a jump start in our community, y'all. Let's just be honest. I need a jump start on county property north of town. Who do I think I am? But with the grace of God, I'm nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So where are you and I? Where are we? Are we in the broad way or the narrow way? We fuss and fight over stuff when the main thing is souls. God help us. Have we bought into a lie like the Pharisees and the Sadducees who killed Jesus? You see, with the American culture, and our affluency, we seem to miss the mark. We seem to have bought into the American culture and the American mindset, you know, that we get out of high school and we go to college and we get good jobs and we do this and we do that, and we're self-deception because it's all about who's the center of our life, and it seems to be all about us. And it's not about us. It's about the one who died in my place, in your place, in your place. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He's got streets of gold and a place called heaven and His heavenly Father. And He's saying, I want you, I want you, I want you. And the whole time we have bought into a lie in the American culture and we're saying, I want, I want, I want. And the Father said, but you forgot what it's all about. It's all about the souls that my Son Jesus Christ died for. And then, we're going down the broad way, and God be with the power of the Holy Spirit for those of us who are born again when He gets us in out of our comfort zones. You see, we in our culture, don't we kind of like to put God in a box and put Him on the shelf, and we take Him off the shelf on Sunday morning, and we take Him off the shelf Sunday night, and we take Him off the shelf on Wednesdays, and the rest of the time just stay there because I've got things I've got to do. And the whole time God's saying, but you're hitting it, you're rubbing elbows with hundreds of people who don't truly know me, who are dying and going to hell. Dennis, what's wrong with you? Do you see what I'm saying? Then a question is, Dennis on the broad way or is Dennis on the narrow way? Has Dennis found that narrow gate, that straight way that Christ said he must find? It's questionable, Dennis. So don't misunderstand me. Salvation is by grace through God for what His Son, our Savior, did on the cross, not by our works. But as we grow in our relationship with Him, we become more aware of sharing His gospel with all peoples. So make sure we don't get stuck on the herd of the many and not care for the spiritually needy. And then in closing, now I don't know if we'll ever get closed because this is only page 2 as the introduction. Kind of reminds me of a pastor said, took his watch off and tried to impress everyone and set it right there. He said, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. So, okay, now the way of holiness, where Christ deals faithfully with us and tells us of His Holy Spirit. This is His will. The gate is straight. We find that in verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth where, gang? Into life, and few. That word many is not there. It's few. 7 billion. 7 billion people. And few. So if it was 5 billion, we wouldn't say few, would we? No. It's probably less than 1.5 billion. You know, it haunts me. It haunts me. Two were at the well and one was taken and one was left. That in my math, for my boys, in my math, that's one half. Now I'm just teasing. That's one half. One out of two. The power of the Holy Spirit moved through us today. You stay seated, you stand. You stay seated, you stand. It would be frightening, wouldn't it? The Holy Spirit's moving in your heart today. Only you know if you are the few. Only you know if you are the many. Where are you with the few or the many? Let's finish and see what he says. This is a straight gate, hard to find, hard to get through. In 1 Samuel 14:4, as I've already shared with you, the rock was hard. It was not easy, but he knew, and the rock's names were Bozi and Sepneth. And Jonathan knew if he could squeeze through, that his God would take care of him against the Philistines. I want you to know that if you'll squeeze through, if God comes first tomorrow morning, and God comes first in your decisions, and God comes first on Tuesday morning, and God comes first in your decisions, and you're squeezing and you're struggling because you know what? You and I have to make decisions on a daily basis. So what we're saying about the straight and narrow is not that it's one gate, but it's a daily walk with Jesus Christ, okay? And at that gate, I like to think of it like that. At that gate, Dennis has got to get through that gate. Dennis has got to have conversion. Dennis has got to repent. Dennis has got to leave all of that behind him. Because listen to this. The broad way, we carry luggage. And you can't walk two ways. Dennis, this is the broad way and this is the narrow way. You cannot go both ways. Did you hear what I'm saying? So this morning, you're either on the broad way or you're on the narrow way. Now listen to this. If you're on the broad way, you're carrying all the luggage. I'm carrying unforgiveness. I'm carrying the petty sins I like to do, and no one's going to tell me what to do, and we've got all this luggage that we just carry on. Now, if we carry it like this to the airport and we stop, we've got to pay dues on all but one luggage, don't we? I got you, didn't I? You pay dues. But if you're going the narrow way, when you squeeze through there, you're being converted. The old man has to leave. You're born again. It's a new man. It's a new Dennis. The luggage is knocked off. No fees for extra luggage, Dennis. The only thing you need is Jesus Christ. And He's waiting at the gate for you. Isn't that great? Wow, so next time you go to the airport, you check. Are you going through the narrow gate or the wide gate? Leave your luggage. Delta wants 25. No. Anyway. But think of it like that. How much luggage are you carrying? And the luggage costs you, does it not? The luggage costs you the freedom with God. The luggage costs you the peace. The luggage costs you so that you're not ready when God wants to use you. That you've got this other luggage. Oh, forgot to ask forgiveness and God wants me to witness. And I can't witness because I've got this animosity in my heart. That happened. It happened to me this past week. God, I've got to go and set it straight with Him so that I can be used by You for them. Do you see what that luggage does to you? And that's what Christ is saying here. The way is narrow. The gate is straight. The way is narrow. We're not in heaven as we get through the straight gate. We must go through the wilderness. We must travel a narrow way, but He's with us. Self must be denied. Daily temptations must be resisted. Duties must be done that are against our inclination. We must endure hardness. We must struggle. We must be in agony. Must watch in all things and walk with care and circumspect. We must go through much tribulation. But as the understanding and will grow, as we understand, will grow more and more sound, and it will open and enlarge and grow more and more pleasant for us. So let me ask you, are you on the straight or are you on the narrow? And then the gate being so straight and the way so narrow, it's not strange that Christ comes back and He says, but few that find it and choose it. Many will pass by it through carelessness. They will not be at the pains to find it. They see no need to change their life. Others look upon it but shun it. They don't like to be limited and restrained or self-deception. They just don't understand the difference. And that's where you and I come in. So those that are going to heaven are few. So let me ask you, are you? So in closing, as you can see, I'm flipping these pages because that clock says one thing and this says the other. But in closing, let me ask you, words and religious works are not a substitute for obedience. Are you obedient to the Word of God? Have you gone through the straight and narrow? Have you had a time and a place where you knew there was nothing, any person, any program, any church, any religion could offer you to save you of your sins? You see, we started in Genesis where God tells us that our inclinations of our heart, the imaginations of your heart from youth, are evil. So has anyone, have you put your stake in anyone or anything other than Jesus Christ and God's Word? If you have, then you need to ask Christ to save you today. Then you need to go through that narrow gate, that straight way, and drop all that luggage off and be born again. You will, if you've never done that, you will feel the freedom and the peace that you've never experienced in your life. So words and religious works are not a substitute for obedience. Preaching, casting out demons, performing miracles can be divinely inspired, but they give not assurance of salvation. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that Judas betrayed Christ, right? Don't you think that Judas was there and held hands as Christ prayed over sick people? Oh, yeah. Don't you think that from the appearance that it looked like Judas had some power when he was around God to perform miracles? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Don't you think that Judas opened the Scriptures and knew Scriptures from being around our Lord? Oh, yeah. Sure do. Where do you think Judas's soul is today? Do you think that Judas was on the wide way with a lot of people, with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those who wanted to murder Christ? Yes. So let me ask you, only the Lord and you can determine, are you on the broad way, the wide way, or are you on the narrow way? You see, religious works, preaching, casting out demons, performing miracles, they don't cut it. We're here to hear God's Word and to do them. Let me ask you, are you obedient to the Lord? Let me give you a test. I had three tests to give you, but we'll have to come back one other Sunday and do those. But let me ask you a test. This past week, with a decision you had to make, did the Holy Spirit say, Dennis, uh-uh, you can't do that. Because you honor my Lord. You wear the name of Christ. You can't do that. Are your decisions, are the times when you can be obedient, are the times when you can be used of a holy God? Is the Holy Spirit inside of you dealing with you, sir or ma'am? Or do you just not care because you're on the broad way and you've never been born again? Have you been born again? Have you left some of your old luggage off? Many people have professed faith in Christ. Many have, only to deny their faith when life comes spiritually costly and difficult. They deny it when self has to go. They deny it when they don't get their way. They deny it if they don't get popular. No, there are not many on the broad road to destruction by popularity. There are many depending on the words of the Lord, and they say, "No, Lord, Lord," but this is no assurance of salvation, because look at Judas. By religious activities, look at Judas. Or church organization, look at Judas. Two ways, the broad way and the narrow way, tells us to examine the cost of our profession. So have we paid a price to profess faith in Christ? Have you paid? What will you hear? "I have never known you. I do not know you." Or will you hear, "Welcome home"? He tells us, Scripture, it's not Dennis, it's Scripture. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" Which are you, the many or the few? Only you can answer that. Only you know in your heart what you've done with the power of the Holy Spirit. Only you can answer that. Every head bowed. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity. Lord Jesus, my prayer is that there's not one person, not one person within the sound of my voice today, that your Spirit will allow them to play games. That they know that they are either on the broad way with many going to hell, or they're on the narrow way with few, being tested daily. Their profession of faith in Christ is tested. And Heavenly Father, when it's tested by fire, they're going to come out pure. And they know that they struggle. They know that it's difficult. They know that it's a daily battle. They know you, and they're building a personal relationship with you. And your Bible does not collect dust, but your Bible is read, Heavenly Father, with tears of compassion, with tears from promises, with tears from the one who loved them the most and died for them, Jesus Christ. Their Bible is, in fact, their love letter. So, Heavenly Father, encourage them. Guide them, Heavenly Father, so that they know by the assurance of your Holy Spirit inside of them that they are one of yours. And use them, Heavenly Father. May they be like Jonathan in 2 Samuel 14, where Jonathan was told to garrison, "I'm going to squeeze through this straight gate and my Lord will protect me." And then, Heavenly Father, for those who are confused, for those who really don't know, who really can't determine this morning, are they on the broad way? Gee, I go with many. Gee, my salvation was just by words. Gee, it really didn't mean anything. And gee, I still seem as though I'm just in the wilderness. May they not leave today. May they not leave today without asking Christ into their heart and life to save them. So Heavenly Father, you have this time. Thank you for the privilege and the honor to proclaim your word. God, may they only hear the words that you wanted them to hear, but may they be honest with your Holy Spirit this morning as you deal with their hearts. We love you and thank you for all you're going to do, all that you have done, and all that you're going to do this morning. In the name of Christ, your Son, our Savior, we pray these things. Amen.